Welcome back to the Deep Dive. It is great to have you with us. Today, we're doing something a little different, a little bit of time travel.
A bit of speculative fiction, yeah, but grounded in some very hard data.
Exactly. So I want you to just close your eyes for a second. Imagine it's 2026. You're standing in a phone store, maybe you're browsing online, and you realize something feels different. Mm-hmm. For 15 years, we've been promised the next big thing. You know, foldables that turn into origami, rollables, holograms. But looking at the landscape in 2026, the days of those massive, revolutionary, throw-out-the-rulebook designs.
They're gone. They're officially in the rearview mirror.
That's what all our sources are saying.
That is the big takeaway, yeah.
We have fully entered the era of refinement. The Wild West part is over. It's less about reinventing the wheel and more about polishing that wheel until it's, you know, absolutely frictionless.
And standing tall in this landscape are the same two heavyweights that have been battling it out since, what, 2010?
The Titans.
In one corner, we have the Samsung Galaxy S26 Ultra, and in the other, the iPhone 17 Pro Max. And looking at the sources we've pulled, leaks, supply chain reports, CAD renders, this is not just a spec sheet battle anymore. It feels like a clash of philosophies.
It really is. It's almost theological at this point. You have two very distinct religions.
Yeah.
One device is positioning itself as a tool, maybe even a weapon. It's aggressive. The other is trying to be a jewel or a pebble. It's passive.
And our mission for this deep dive is to figure out which congregation you belong to. Yeah. Are you the technocrat? Or are you the realist creator?
Let's find out.
All right, let's start with just the physical reality of these things. Section one, design and build. The sources are describing this as the samurai sword versus the Viking shield. Let's start with the Samsung. What's the vibe of the S26 Ultra?
Samsung has leaned all the way in. They're calling it the titanium monolith.
That sounds heavy.
It's meant to sound intimidating. According to the renders, they've upgraded the material to titanium grade 5. And we should probably pause on that because it sounds like marketing jargon.
Yeah, what is the actual difference between grade 2 and grade 5?
Yeah.
Is it just a bigger number?
No, it's a chemistry difference. The previous generations, S24, S25, they mostly used grade 2. That's commercially pure titanium. It's light, it's pretty strong.
Okay.
But grade 5 is an alloy. It mixes in aluminum and vanadium. This is aerospace grade stuff. It's significantly harder, and crucially, it lets them make the walls of the phone thinner without losing any structural integrity.
So it's tougher, but maybe even lighter.
Exactly. But the controversy isn't the material, it's the shape. I'm seeing notes here about it being boxy.
Extremely boxy. The sources say the corners are sharper than ever. But why? Everyone complains about sharp corners digging into their hands.
There's a very specific engineering reason for it, and it all comes down to the S Pen. Samsung's argument is that to maximize the canvas for that stylus, you need a rectangle. If you have a rounded corner, sort of like a lozenge, you lose writing space right at the edges.
Oh, the stylus would just slip off.
It just slips right off. So they are knowingly sacrificing hand comfort for writing utility.
Wow.
100%. The engineers even admit in these leaked memos that it might, quote, dig into the palm. It's not trying to be comfortable. It's trying to be functional. It feels like a piece of industrial machinery.
It's a tool you wield, not something you cuddle.
Exactly.
Okay, so that's the tank. Now let's look at the iPhone 17 Pro Max. The sources call this one the softened edge.
And Apple is going in the complete opposite direction. They've kept the rounded corners, but the big story is how much slimmer it is. But the most controversial change, and this is the one that's going to upset people, is the buttons.
Oh, I read about this, the button revolution.
Right.
Are they finally gone? Because they threatened to do this with the iPhone 15, and then they backed out.
They backed out then because the tech just wasn't ready. Now the supply chain says it is. The rumor is a unified solid-state capacitive strip.
Wait, break that down for me. Solid state. That means nothing moves.
Correct. Imagine combining the volume rockers and the action button into one long strip on the side of the phone. When you press it, it doesn't physically click down. It's a solid piece of metal, but
you feel a click.
You feel a click. Tiny motors inside the haptics. They vibrate instantly to trick your finger into feeling that click.
Just like the trackpads on the MacBooks. You think it's clicking, but it's just vibrating.
Exactly that technology.
But why do that? Buttons work fine. Why overcomplicate it?
It's about that sealed pebble vibe. If you remove the physical mechanism, you remove the gap in the chassis.
Better water resistance.
Water resistance goes through the roof. It's one less point of failure for dust or water to get in.
I suppose that makes sense. But it'll take some getting used to. And I have to ask about the dynamic island. Is it still, you know, floating there?
It is, but it's on a diet. It shrunk by about 30% because they've managed to shove some of the Face ID components, the infrared sensors, under the display glass.
So the camera cutout is still there?
The cutout for the main camera is still there, yeah.
So holding them in your hand, Samsung is a sharp titanium weapon built for precision. The iPhone is a smooth sealed jewel built for ergonomics.
It's precisely. If you want something that feels like it could survive a drop from a helicopter, you go Samsung. If you want that premium, you know, jewelry feel, you go Apple.
Okay, let's turn these things on. Section two. The display war. Now, this is always funny to me because Samsung Display, the manufacturing arm, makes the panels for both of these phones, right?
They do. It's a very strange frenemy relationship. But as the sources always point out, Samsung, the phone company, usually keeps the absolute best toys for themselves before selling the slightly older tech to Apple.
So let's talk about the S26 Ultra's screen. The M15 OLED.
This panel is a monster. The headline number is the brightness. Peak brightness is hitting 3,200 nits.
Okay, we throw the word nits around a lot. For someone just listening who wants to read a text message outside, what does 3,200 nits actually mean?
Okay, think of a standard candle. A nit is basically the light of one candle per square meter. Your laptop screen right now is probably 400 or 500 nits.
Right.
3,200 is blindingly bright. It means you could be standing on a beach in the Sahara at high noon with the sun blasting the screen, and you could watch a dark movie with perfect clarity.
That is wild. But the sources say the wow factor isn't just the brightness, it's the bezels, or the lack of them.
The zero bezel technology, yeah. They've managed to bend the display circuitry underneath the glass so tightly that the black borders are, they're virtually non-existent. The effect is described as just holding a screen.
No frame.
There's no frame, it's just pixels in your hand.
And what about reflections?
Gone. They're using Gorilla Glass armor, too. It has this microscopic etching that just scatters the light. So instead of seeing your own face reflected back at you outside, it just looks like a printed sticker. It's incredible.
That sounds amazing. So how does the iPhone fight back? If they're using a custom version of the same panel, can they match those specs?
Not quite on the brightness. The iPhone 17 Pro Max hits 3,000 nits.
Oh, only 3,000. What a disaster.
I know, right? It's splitting hairs at that level. Both are incredible. But Apple, they play a different game. They focus on color accuracy. Historically, their calibration is just more true to life right out of the box.
Okay.
But the big rumor for the iPhone 17 is something they're calling Promotion X.
Promotion X. Is that faster than the 120 hertz we're used to?
It is, yeah. Current Pro phones refresh the screen 120 times a second. Promotion X goes all the way up to 144 hertz.
144 hertz. That's gaming monitor territory. Does a normal person scrolling Instagram actually see the difference between 120 and 144?
A normal person? Maybe not consciously, but your brain notices. It just feels fluid. It feels like the pixels are painted on the glass and they move with your finger instantly. It brings the phone into parity with, you know, high-end PC gear.
So Samsung wins on immersion and brightness. Apple's chasing speed and color fidelity.
That's the trade-off.
All right, let's flip these phones over. This is the main event. Section three. The camera autopsy. The sources are saying this is the primary reason the prices have gone up so much this year.
Absolutely. This is where the hardware differentiation is the most aggressive. It's not just better cameras. It's completely different approaches to photography.
Let's start with Samsung. The 200 megapixel monster.
The S26 Ultra debuts the ISOCELL HP9 sensor. And here's the key detail. The main sensor is approaching the 1-inch type format.
Unpack that for us. We hear 200 megapixels and think that's the important number. But you're saying the physical size of the sensor matters more.
It matters so much more. Imagine it's raining. The sensor is a bucket catching rain, and the rain is the light.
Okay.
If you have a tiny little bucket, you don't catch much rain. If you have a massive bucket, you catch a lot. A 1-inch sensor is a massive bucket. It physically allows about 40% more light in than the S25 did.
And more light means what for the final photo?
Less noise, cleaner night shots. And crucially, natural background blur bokeh. You know how phones use portrait mode to artificially blur the background?
Yeah, and it always looks a bit fake around the edges.
Right. With a 1-inch sensor, you don't need the software as much. The physics of the lens creates that blow naturally. It looks like a DSLR shot.
And the zoom. Samsung is famous for that 100x space zoom. Is it still just a gimmick?
Not anymore. That is the big claim for 2026. They've kept the 10x optical lens, but because they have this massive new sensor and way better AI upscaling, the sources say 100x zoom is now legitimately usable for photography.
So not just for, like, reading a license plate down the street or spying on your neighbors.
No, you could theoretically frame a shot of a gargoyle on a building 10 blocks away, print it, and put it on your wall. It's a real leap in computational photography. And on the video side, they're doing 8K at 60 frames per second.
Which sounds like complete overkill. Who has an 8K TV to even watch that on?
Almost no one. It is overkill for 99% of people. But it's magnificent overkill. It lets you crop into the video later without losing any quality.
Okay, so Samsung is brute force, giant sensors, massive zoom. What's Apple doing? They've always been about, it just works.
Apple is fighting what they're calling the consistency war. They refuse to chase the megapixel count on the main sensor just for marketing. Instead, they've upgraded the other lenses. The ultra-wide and the telephoto are finally both 48-megapixel sensors.
Oh, that's huge.
Yeah.
Because usually the main camera's great, and the ultra-wide looks like a muddy mess.
Exactly. Apple's goal is uniformity. It shouldn't matter which lens you pick. The color, the detail, the dynamic range should all look identical. But here's the controversial part.
What's that?
Apple is sticking with the 5X optical zoom.
Only 5X? Against Samsung's 10X, that feels like a loss.
Well, Apple argues that 5X is a better focal length for portraits.
Explain that. What does that mean?
When you zoom in a lot, like 10X, you get something called compression. It flattens the image. For a building, that's fine. For a human face, it can make you look a bit wide.
Ah.
Apple believes 5X, which is roughly 120 millimeter equivalent, is the glamour shot sweet spot. They're betting on people taking more photos of people than photos of the moon.
That is a very Apple distinction to make. We know what you want better than you do. And video. Apple usually wins on video.
They still do. The sources are clear. Apple remains the undefeated champion of video workflow. The iPhone 17 records in ProRes Log.
Let's do a quick explain like I'm five for ProRes Log.
Think of it like a raw photo, but for video. It looks kind of gray and flat on the phone when you shoot it, but it captures all the data. Highlights, shadows, colors. When a professional editor gets that file, they can color grade it to look like a blockbuster movie. Samsung's video is sharp, but Apple's video is malleable.
So the verdict on cameras.
If you want to see things the human eye can't, like extreme zoom or perfect night vision, you get the Samsung. If you want reliable, professional video and consistent quality across all your lenses, you get the Apple.
Okay, let's pop the hood. Section 4, the engine room. Silicon and battery. We used to just talk about speed. My processor is faster than yours. But it seems like the conversation has shifted.
It has. We've sort of reached a point of diminishing returns on raw speed. I mean, apps open instantly on both phones. Now, the war is about efficiency versus brute force multitasking.
And Samsung is using the Snapdragon 8 Gen 5.
Right. This is built on a 3-nanometer process, but it uses these custom Orion cores. Well, and here is the shocker. Early Geekbench 7 scores show its multi-core performance is butting the Apple M3 chip found in MacBooks.
Wait, pause. A phone chip beating a laptop chip from just a couple of years ago.
That's the level of power we're dealing with. It's designed for heavy multitasking. If you're running three apps at once in split screen, a video, a spreadsheet, a web browser, this chip won't even break a sweat. It's a desktop computer in your pocket.
And Apple, they're usually the silicon leaders. Are they falling behind?
Not falling behind, but pivoting. The Apple A19 Pro is the first chip to move to the 2 10-nanometer node.
2 nanometer, just so we're clear. M stands for nanometer. That's the size of the transistors.
Right. The smaller the transistor, the more you can pack onto the chip and the less power they use to switch on and off. Moving from 3 nanometer to 2 10-nanometers is a massive engineering hurdle.
And what's the benefit for the user?
Efficiency. Apple isn't chasing the raw gaming benchmark numbers as hard as Snapdragon is this year. They are focusing on the neural engine, the AI brain, and battery life. The sources suggest you can expect 2+ days of battery life on the iPhone 17 Pro Max.
2 full days. That is the holy grail. We haven't seen that since the old Nokia brick phones.
It is. So the trade-off is clear. Samsung gives you the raw horsepower of a laptop. Apple gives you the endurance of a marathon runner.
Which brings us perfectly to the brain of the operation. Section 5, AI philosophies. Mm-hmm. We've got Galaxy AI versus Apple intelligence. And the sources describe this as the wizard versus the secretary.
That is the perfect analogy. Let's look at Samsung first. Their AI, powered by Google Gemini Nano, is the wizard.
Meaning?
It's open, it's experimental, it's flashy, it wants to do magic tricks, it offers features like live call translation where you speak English and the other person hears Spanish in real time. It has object erasure in video where you can just tap a person walking through your shot and they vanish.
That sounds fun.
It is fun. It creates generative wallpapers from scratch. But like a wizard, it can be unpredictable. It's willing to be a little messy. It gives you beta features that feel like magic, but they might hallucinate or not work perfectly every time. It's about possibility.
And Apple, the secretary.
Apple Intelligence is conservative, private, and deeply integrated. It runs locally on the device, meaning your data is being sent to a cloud server to be processed, and it's not trying to generate a picture of a dragon riding a unicorn. Maybe, but useful. Think of the best executive assistant you can imagine. It wants to summarize your long emails so you don't have to read them. It sorts your photos by context. Show me photos of my dog at the beach in 2024. It manages your calendar based on a text message you just got.
So it's invisible utility.
Exactly. It works silently in the background. It wants to remove friction from your life. So Samsung is for the person who wants to play and create and wow their friends. Apple is for the person who wants to get things done without thinking about how the tech works.
One is a creative toy. The other is a productivity safety net.
Precisely.
Now, we have to talk about the X factor. The one thing Samsung has that Apple just refuses to adopt.
Yeah.
The S Pen.
The S Pen's last stand. Or maybe it's Victory Lap. Until Apple puts a pencil on the iPhone, which they probably never will because Steve Jobs famously hated styluses. Samsung owns a power user market just because of this little stick.
The specs say the latency is down to 2.8 milliseconds.
That is instantaneous. It's faster than your brain can even process. It feels like writing on paper with a ballpoint pen.
Yeah.
There is zero lag.
Be honest, though. Who is this actually for? I feel like a lot of people buy the Ultra, they pull the pen out once, and then it just stays in the slot for 2 years.
Sure, the casual user does that. But for the power user, the person who needs to sign a contract PDF on the go or edit a video timeline in Premiere Rush with pixel-perfect precision, for that user, that little stick is worth the entire price of admission. It turns the phone into a notebook.
And speaking of the price of admission, we need to talk numbers, the price tag. And it's painful.
Brace yourselves. Inflation and component costs have hit hard. The Samsung S26 Ultra starts at $1,499 for the 256 gig model.
$1,500. That's a used car. That's a really nice vacation. And the iPhone?
The iPhone 17 Pro Max is likely starting at $11,199.
So there's a $300 gap. Significant. Why is the Samsung so much more expensive?
The sources break it down to three things. One, the hardware cost of that S Pen digitizer layer in the screen, that copper mesh under the glass isn't cheap.
Okay.
Two, that massive 1-inch sensor and the complex periscope optics for the zoom, glass is expensive. And three, RAM.
RAM.
Samsung starts at 16 gigs of RAM. Apple will likely start at 12. Samsung needs that extra memory to run all those wizard AI features we talked about.
So you are technically getting more hardware for your money with Samsung.
You are. The value proposition is this. The S26 Ultra is a phone plus a tablet plus a camera. The iPhone is just a perfect phone.
Just a perfect phone. That's a good segue to the verdict. We've looked at the design, the screen, the camera, the chip, the AI, the price. It is time to decide. Which religion do you choose?
The inspector's conclusion in our source material splits this into two pretty distinct avatars.
Let's start with the technocrat.
If you are a technocrat, you choose the Galaxy S26 Ultra. You want the absolute pinnacle of hardware specs. You want the furthest zoom, the brightest screen, the utility of a stylus. You are willing to pay that $4,499 for the privilege of holding the most advanced consumer electronic device on Earth.
It's a flex.
It is a flex. It's a statement that you care about capability above all else.
And the other avatar, the creator and realist.
Then you choose the iPhone 17 Pro Max. You want the best video camera in your pocket because you might actually use that footage for work. You care about resale value because, let's be honest, iPhones hold their value way better. And you want an ecosystem that just never breaks. You save $300 up front and you get a device that feels like a piece of jewelry that will probably last you longer without any hiccups.
So it's the difference between driving a Formula One car and driving a luxury Grand Tourer. One is technically faster and more complex.
And the other is just a better ride. Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
So here is the provocative thought to leave you with. I want you to imagine both of these phones are sitting on table in front of you right now.
The ultimate test.
They're free. You don't have to pay the $1,500. Money is no object. You just have to pick one up and put it in your pocket for the next 2 years.
Which instinct kicks in.
Do you grab the titanium Samsung Team Pin, Team Zoom, Team I Can Do Anything?
Yeah.
Or do you grab the iPhone 17, Team Apple, Team Video, Team... My life is just organized.
It's a tough choice. My heart says Samsung because I love the gadgets. But my brain says Apple because I just want my calendar to work.
And that is the eternal struggle of the tech enthusiast. Heart versus brain. Wizard versus secretary. Thank you for listening to this deep dive into the future of 2026. We hope this helps you choose your weapon or your jewel wisely.
Stay curious.
See you next time.